meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issues held on the 27th of July, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Okay, hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I'll turn it over to our co-chair, Michael Fleming.
Good morning, everyone, from the land of the rising sun, but the sun is not out this morning. I hope everyone is doing very well. Thank you very much for joining us today. This week, we have a little bit of follow-up from our last discussion 2 weeks ago. That, and we'll be turning it over to the reserved names briefly after a small discussion on the registry agreement. But first and foremost, I wanted to make sure that I give anyone the opportunity to see if they have, or to tell us whether or not they have an update to their SOI. Does anyone have an update in regards to their SOI? If not, then please, if you would rather, you could always put it in the chat, so please put that in there and let us know. Then I would like to move over to the registry agreement discussion. This is just a brief follow-up to what we were discussing 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, for those of us that were not here, we went over the CC2 comments in regards to the question on that talks about whether or not we should have a single or multiple registry agreements. Phone numbers. Oh, yes, Phil, Jeff will ask staff to look into that. So let's just put that in on the side. Back to this summary of discussions. So this is a summary of the discussions that we had last week, but more so collectively in regards to the question on whether or not we should have a single registry agreement or multiple registry agreements. In order to basically collect ourselves and to move forward for what I would hope would be consensus in the future, I wanted to engage whether everyone feels that we're on the same page. Now, this is initially something I have felt basically that from our discussions where we are at, this is not the opinion of where I feel that we should be. Basically, this is not my personal opinion, but rather what I have felt is the majority opinion. If I am wrong, then please let me know, and we will make changes to this as necessary. So basically, I'm just going to read this, and if anyone would like to tell me whether or not this is we're in the right direction, that we need to change a few things, then please do let me know. In regards to specific wordsmithing, we can do that at a later time, but let's just see if we're all on the right side. We're all on the same page at the current time. So this is a summary. So once again, this is a summary of discussion in regards to CC2 comments in regards to question 2.1.1 on single versus multiple registry agreements. The discussions in regards to the base registry agreement have considered the question of whether to have one single registry agreement or multiple registry agreements. This question is related conclusively to the topic of multiple CLD categories. This discussion in regards to this question contemplated what would be the better model in the case that multiple TLD categories were adopted. Throughout the working group's discussion, there has been support for a model similar to what is currently in place, a single registry agreement with exemptions that allow for TLDs with different operational models, example given specification 13 for brand TLDs, specification 12 for community TLDs. There is also support for different registry agreements for different TLD categories, centered around a common core base set of contractual requirements. After in-depth discussion and feedback received by the ICANN community, while there is support for multiple registry agreements, the majority of responses has shown support for a single registry agreement that allows for different operational models. The discussion group formulated several ideas about how this could be carried out, but most ideas shared similarities in following a format similar to the registry agreement as it is today, and how it allows for different operational models through the use of separate specifications. So does anyone, oh, Paul, you have your hand raised, and perfect, be my guest.
Thanks, Paul McGrady for the record. I think this is fine as far as it goes, but what it doesn't say is also important, and what it doesn't say is that there should be no presumption that the open registry model of .com and .org and .info should be a default model that people have to explain why they don't want to be in the base agreement, and that there should be a presumption that ICANN will negotiate in good faith to accommodate other business models that arise. We have a couple of business models now that have arisen from round one, but hopefully even more business models will emerge. And ICANN was quite resistant to making changes to address business models in the last round, and we don't want to go in with that same attitude. We spent hundreds, or I don't want to overstate it, but perhaps thousands of hours begging for the right for dot brands to exist, even though they exist in the real world, and we don't want other business models to have to go through what we went through. So one, there should be no, because even though we're agreeing to a base, even though we're suggesting as a group, it appears that a base agreement with specifications or addenda is the way to go. There should be no presumption that that means everybody is an open model unless they can cajole and harangue and beg and plead otherwise. And two, ICANN staff and board should be open to listening about other models and working proactively and in good faith to getting to additional specifications and other addendums, things like that, if needed, in order to accommodate those new business models. Kind of long-winded, but I think those two concepts need to be in here. Thanks.
No, Paul, that was really good and sound advice, I think. We do need to add additional details for flexibility, to make sure that ICANN is also in good faith. I think that's something that we could agree upon. Jeff, you made the suggestion about using flexibility rather than exemptions. If you have something else to say, then please be my guest. You have the floor.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I just wonder if we can just delve into what Paul said a little bit, because my concern is that if we have thousands and thousands of TLDs, how ICANN is going to enter into good faith negotiations with every single registry and also at the same time make sure that it is living up to its bylaw commitment of not singling out any registry for disparate treatment. It's in the bylaws and it's in the registry agreement. So I think we need to give that a little bit of thought before we kind of just write in the ultimate of flexibility, but also understand Paul's point that there could be business models that come down the pike that truly are unique, which should be differentiated from, let's say, a brand that wants to come in and say, look, I usually don't agree to these limitation of liability caps, so, you know, I think you should negotiate with me to have lower caps or something like that. So I think if we're going to have some flexibility, we need to build in some guidelines to make sure that we don't run afoul of some of ICANN's other commitments. Thanks.
Hey, can I respond to that?
Perfect. Be my guest.
Thanks. Paul McGrady again for the record. So how will ICANN do it? I guess $185,000 worth of resources for the application fee should provide ICANN with what they need to engage in good faith negotiations. It's not like these are cheap. So there should be plenty of money for that kind of thing. And secondly, I don't think that it's disparate treatment to insist that not everybody has the same business model. In fact, I think it's disparate. It's disparate treatment to treat everybody as if they are an open GTLD second layer seller of, you know, as many domain names as they can. When the applicant comes in with a new business model that needs some accommodation, for ICANN to say, no, I'm sorry, you have to essentially conform your business to our standard .com model is disparate treatment, because the open GTLD, the old business model that has been around the longest, that the contract conforms to that, but a contract that doesn't conform to the new idea, that's disparate treatment, because the people with the old model are being offered a contract that actually makes sense in relationship to their business, and the people who are not don't fit into that business model because they've got a new idea are being offered a contract that fits a completely different business model. So the disparate treatment language, I guess, is, from my point of view, one of the reasons why ICANN should be open-minded and should, in fact, use, you know, part of the giant chunk of money that they charge for these things to actually, you know, do some thinking. And if they had, if they had moved earlier on the dot brand or in fact included it in the applicant guidebook, or at least were nimble and flexible, they could have taken all the thousands of hours they spent resisting it and all the, however, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars they spent resisting it, and they would have had plenty of money to listen to other people talk about what they may want to do in the GTLD space. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And Jeff, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that in just 1 second. I think to kind of come to some kind of a point of agreement in between both sides of that, that I think we all understand that it is very difficult for ICANN to basically give specific treatment, they can't give specific treatment. As you said, it's in the bylaws, but at the same time, though, there needs to be some kind of vessel or some way for ICANN to be able to give way to or be flexible with new types of business models. And it is very difficult to negotiate anything with ICANN in regards to the registry agreement, but there should be. We should explore avenues for allowing that flexibility. So, Joe, I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but let's just leave it at that for this specific discussion in regards to that point of the registry agreement. Then I'd like to move it on to anyone else who might have something different to say. So go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I'll try to make it quick. I think we should have an option at the beginning in the application process, certainly for the business models that we know about, one being the open, one being the brand, another being the community, potentially another geo, whatever it is that we create specific provisions for, and that the applicant should select from the beginning, you know, which model it believes it fits into, and then that will stop the presumption that it's all going to be open. But I think we should try to brainstorm, at least possibly between Paul and I, what types of business models or what things we can foresee to see, you know, to make sure that not everyone's treated like an open, because I agree with that, but also not signal to the world that it's a free-for-all, that everyone can negotiate every single provision. So perhaps Paul and I could take that a little bit offline.
All right, thanks, Jeff. That'd be great. If you could just pull that feedback back to us. If you could just give us that feedback once you do come to something, that would be great. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to say in regards to this summary?
Michael, it's Phil here.
Phil? Yes, I know. We're running on time. I know.
I told him that he's got a comment in the chat. Do you want to read it out, or do you want to have a look at it? I'm trying to get my head around it. Perhaps
Alexander Schubert.
Would like to say more. Yeah, Alexander Schubert.
All right, I'll go ahead and. Sorry about that. So Alexander Schubert has written that so applicants can apply for a generic term-based GTLD, then keep it closed instead of allowing registrants to happen the lease domains without providing any protections to the leasee, because that will happen. So I'm just trying to understand that really quick.
Yeah. Alexander, would you explain further?
So I think, Alexander, I think that one is pertaining to the closed generic discussion. Hold on a second.
Perfect.
Do
you hear me?
Yeah, you're able to. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So, Alexander Schubert. Well, the problem is whenever we create some kind of loophole, some extra provision, what will happen is people who would like to circumvent the current protections for registrants will try to use it. So if you have a dot whatever, dot lawyer, dot club, some good string, then wouldn't it be nice to be able to do things that you right now can do with an open TOD. For example, raise the price for a single domain name just because you feel the owner of the domain name or the registrant of the domain name made it valuable. So you will, for example, want to lease domain names so that the registrant is not even owning it, for example, which you couldn't do under the current provisions and with the .com or .info domain name or any other GTOD. But if we create this new type of closed TOD, then suddenly we maybe don't have any more registrants, but people who have some right to use a domain but are not any more protections by the current protection.
Thank you, Alexander. To kind of respond to that, I think that the current models that we are exploring, for example, the brand TLD closed TLD, or the one that, or even now the exemption to the specification 9, there are those specific provisions within there where, for example, if it's generic, you can't go and do that, for specifically the specification 9, but if it's brand TLD, you have to have the trademark. So in that sense, there is a specific interest for the party at hand to operate in that closed aspect, but at the same time, though, to change the entire TLD, so just, for example, to raise the price, well, not just for that specific example you gave, but in that sense, the registrant doesn't come into play at that time. But in a different sense, I don't think that we're going to be putting out there specific models where a TLD operates in an open sense where they could circumvent those protections that exist for registrants. We're not looking at doing that. We're looking at keeping it within basically making them having to follow the same protections that have been established for registrants. That's one where we get into the meat of that discussion when we talk about, for example, the closed generic argument, as well as specifically what the different models that we would have going forward would be. But at the same time, this is already something that exists today for the models. What I'm trying to get at is that we already do have specifically a model for the brand TLDs and a model for the community TLDs. We would just be exploring different avenues for other models as well. But nothing, I don't think, that would be taking away from the registrant protections. Please feel free to respond to that in chat. Does anyone else have anything to say in regards to this? If not, I'd like to turn it over to Phil for the registry agreement discussion. No? Okay.
Yes.
Paul, you've got a great comment in the chat.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, Phil has a couple more comments coming in from Paul and Alexander.
Yeah, I was just going to address that, but I was going to close shop on this. So, Paul and Alexander, you've got some great comments in here. We're going to take that feedback back. Sorry, we're going to take that feedback back. That rhymes, but at the same time, though, it's a different type of rhyme. So, yes, we're going to take that feedback back to the leadership team and also try to take this to the entire working track group and wordsmith this moving forward. I'm going to present it following this call probably early next week for individuals to comment on. With that, I'm going to turn over the rest of the call to Phil Buckingham. Phil Buckingham, please take us away.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Emily, could you pull up the CC2 comments for me, please? And also the matrix for the at the top level. Thanks very much. Right, basically what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through the CC2 comments, not verbatim. So I've picked out keywords and key thoughts, and then try and see where they slot into the matrix. Which could we pull up the matrix so that people can see what we put together. Is a problem because obviously we can't have both up at the same time, which is a bit annoying because I wanted to flip back and forth. So yeah, can you can everybody see that? I guess we need to go up a bit further. But basically, I have 21 different categories, and basically there's a column there for the 2009 policy, then the what happened in the applicant guidebook, and then a column for notes. And I'm basically want to start addressing the CC2 comments and then looking at the particular ones and what additional thoughts are going through your mind and what we need to add or to those notes so we can start getting some kind of consensus on each line going forward. So I'll go back to the CC2, start with the first comment, and that's actually to do with single letters and single letters and single digits combination. That's a comment that's come out from Validaeus and Inter. So,
quickly, could I just ask, so are you able to see the Adobe chat, or should I be monitoring that?
Yeah, I'll be struggling because I'll be flicking back and forth, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'll take over the chat, but just really quick, I was wondering if you could make sure to emphasize to everyone on that what we won't be discussing the geographic names today, but over any of that.
Definitely not discussing geographic names at all. I'm literally just going to work my way through the CC2 comments, and there's about 7 pages here to flesh out the meat on the bone here. So if we start off, so you can see that the first comments come from Validaeus and Inter. Basically, he says, ICANN's 2009 policy on reserves appeared to anticipate letter number combinations, including single letter number combinations, would be permitted However, it didn't go through in the applicant guidebook. So the question is, and that comes if we look at the the matrix as single letters, basically we recommend policy, the 2009 policy, we recommend regulation of single letters at the top level based on technical questions raised. If sufficient research at a later date demonstrates that the technical issues and concerns are addressed, the topic of releasing reservation status can be reconsidered. In the applicant guidebook, it said all single character ASCII TLDs are not allowed. So the question is, are we going to now decide to allow single letters? So has anybody got any comments on this at all? Any thoughts on it? As was raised by Validates and Inter.
Phil, you're coming off as kind of muffled.
Sorry?
So you're coming off as kind of muffled? It seems like some individuals are having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, this is, unfortunately, this is the problem I had on my phone last time. Is that better if I start speaking up or put the speaker on? Sorry.
That's a lot better. Could you speak a little bit more slowly when you do read them out, though?
Yeah, okay. So, as you say, the second paragraph goes on. Yes, the requirements should be reviewed if the applied for string is not a security or stability risk. It should be permitted. So, the key thing is there, what is the security or stability risk? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Why, what's stopping us having a single character combination? Any thoughts on that? Oh, okay. As I'm just looking at the chat here, I did appreciate that. The issue's been discussed in WorkTrack 4, says Jeff. There's overlap here. Single character IDMs, yeah, sure. Okay, well, maybe we should work down to the next comment. It's on section 2213.2, part 3. Key sentence, applied for GTL strings in ASCII must be composed of only three or more visually distinct characters. What does that mean? Three or more visually distinct characters. I've read that. What is that? What does that actually mean? Do we need to change that? Do we need to adjust that? What do you think?
That basically ties it into the argument that all two character strings are reserved, and only three letters. I mean, an applicant must apply something that starts from three letters. But we do have two hands raised by Jeff Newman and Susan Payne, so why don't we move to them for their feedback?
Sure. Please go ahead, Jeff.
So essentially what it meant was one and two characters were not allowed ASCII, and also in the last round, and one character IDNs were not allowed. But I wanted to just reintroduce the notion here that was discussed between the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, and about the only recommendation that group agreed upon, and that, again, that's not the force of a policy development process, but it was a final report where they all agreed. The CCs and the G representatives agreed that the two characters, at least the letter-letter combination of two characters, should be reserved for country code top-level domains. And so they did not opine on, one character, number, second character, letter, or two numbers, or anything like that, but they did opine on the two-character ASCII. So I think we should respect that finding and incorporate that into our report citing that recommendation, unless anyone on this call can think of a reason why we should not follow that recommendation. Thanks.
Yeah, so to follow up, Jeff, and being playing devil's advocate, maybe being a bit stupid, can you guys hear me clearly, or am I okay? All right.
You're clear.
Oh, good. Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Right. Sorry, Jeff. I was going to follow up. So are we talking about something like a .HP and a .BA, as in BA for British Airways, HP for obviously Hewlett-Packard? Is that the issue? So we're basically still saying that they will not be able to apply for those two-character top-level domain?
Correct. That was the recommendation of the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, that they would be reserved just in case a new country or something new on the ISO list were to come about in the coming years. So that's correct. HP, BA, or any other GE, well, GE is Georgia anyway. But, yeah, those would be restricted as well as so all letter, but not necessarily something like 3M or L3 for level 3, I think is what they use, or something like that.
Right, okay, I was going to come on to that. There's a company in the UK, used to be a really top company called 3i, and obviously they right now they can't apply, but clearly that's another separate issue, isn't it? Letter, and then a number. Number and a letter. Sorry for that particular one.
So Phil, we've got Susan with her hand raised as well.
Yes, sorry. Susan, please go ahead.
Yeah, it was just on this point, really. I'm not suggesting particularly that we should overturn the recommendation that the cross-community working group made, but it just wanted to reiterate that was about two letters, and the rationale behind that was around reserving two letters to the country codes, but it wasn't about this idea of letter and number. And whilst it seems to me that we don't necessarily need a policy recommendation, because the policy that previously was, the existing policy appears to envisage letter and number combinations as being acceptable. The way that policy got implemented in the applicant guidebook didn't allow for that. And as you've just been pointing out, there are a number of brand owners, for example, who might well want to apply for their brand, and it includes the letter and a number. So I was thinking about Formula One or F1, which is an extremely well-known brand that fans of motor racing will know. And so unless there's some kind of technical reason for not allowing a letter-number combination, it seemed to me that some kind of recommendation from us that just gives some implementation guidance on this would be beneficial, obviously unless other people disagree.
Yeah, can I come back on that, Susan? I absolutely totally agree with you on that. I can't get my head around the fact that basically what we're saying is what Jeff said, is that somebody like a big company like HP will never be allowed to apply for .HP, which surely gives it a huge disadvantage against its competitor or whatever, and same applies to BA. So I can't, to me it doesn't make any sense why they shouldn't be allowed to apply. Because at the end of the day here, the chances of getting a country code .HP, I think it's going to be rare, isn't it? To me, that's the way I hear it. Sorry, Jeff's written in the chat here. HP can still get HPE. True. But again, that's another exception to the rule in my book. Should we move on? As you said, Susan, also, is there a technical issue here as well? I mean, I don't know if we've got anybody on the call who's got a technical background that can explain there's a technical reason why this can't happen. And then as an aside, actually, when I was going to start this, I was going to say that before, while we consider all this, should we not be looking at developing a really comprehensive database or something like that, that is in place before this whole process starts off again, so that applicants can go into that database and see straight away that they can't apply for this or they can't apply for this or they can't apply for that. To me, it would make a huge amount of sense so that we address each particular one. And somehow, maybe we have to assign a probability to it or something like that. It's just a thought. I don't know what other people think on that one, whether that would be a good idea, whether it's far, far too complicated. But I really do think we need to get to the bottom of all these exceptions to the rules, and this doesn't apply, and that can apply, and whatever. It's incredibly confusing.
Phil, just two things really quickly. You need to be very careful when you voice your own opinion. Just make sure that we state that we need to rate our opinions as chair and our opinion as how we're speaking. Make sure that we keep moving forward because we have a lot of material to cover. Let's stick to the comments.
For the record, Julie, obviously that was my personal opinions on things, so please note that as a personal opinion. And I agree, Michael. Let's move on to the next comment here, because there's lots and lots of issues coming out of this from different angles.
Just really quick, Jeff does have his hand raised, so let's give him the chance to speak.
Yeah, thanks. And I think what we should be striving to do is to make sure that, I know it seems like, Phil, that we're making exceptions, but we're actually not. We're trying to be pretty uniform by saying, as much as it might pain companies like HP and what was the other ones that were mentioned in terms of two characters, there's plenty of GE or whatever, the reality is we're creating a consistent, and Alexander says Volkswagen, VW, we have a consistent rule that says no to ASCII characters because those are, sorry, no to ASCII letter-letter combinations because those are reserved for the country codes. But we can allow a letter-number combination, a number-letter combination. And then on the question of technical, there's nothing technical that would stop a letter number or number letter combination, but I believe there may be a technical issue as to why not to allow a number combination, and that could be because of at least what's been mentioned in the past has been a confusion between a domain name and an IP address. But I'm not the technical expert and would have to go back to those papers, but I believe a domain consisting or a top level consisting only of numbers does present a potential confusion risk.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So, going down our matrix, we don't seem to have a category, if that's the right word for it, for number. So, are we saying, therefore, there's nothing in the guidebook, in the 2012 guidebook, or even in the policy decision back in 2009 to do with number?
In 2009, sorry, this is Jeff. In 2009, they basically said two characters were not allowed, period. Nothing more, or it says what it says there. Apply for GTLD strings in ASCII must be comprised of three or more characters.
Yes.
So that was the rule. It's just now that we're talking about making some allowances in there for certain two characters.
Okay. So how would we follow through on this? Do we need to find any kind of previous reports or something that decisions or policy decisions that already been, I don't What's the next step on this, on that particular one then, that we could follow up on? Oh, sorry. Can you still hear me? Hello? Hello?
We can hear you, Phil. We can hear you.
All right. Okay, great. Sorry, I thought completely gone. Well, anyway, should we move on down to the next paragraph? Start running through that. Okay, so where are we at? So scoring down a little bit on the first page. This is clearly going to take a lot longer than I expected. So section 22132, paragraph 3.8, so it carries on. This definition should have been much more stringent. There's no attempt to describe what generic really means. This is another whole area. It's only used as a contrast to country code. Everything is not two letters. ASCII is defined as generic. Both semantically and legally, this is not correct. Oh, boy. So this is a completely separate area, right? So it then carries on. This should be looked into in the next round. As there's been suggestions on establishing categories in the next round, this might solve the discrepancy in the rules somewhat different for different categories. So this is like a chicken and egg situation, because if we're going to have categories, then... does this change this completely? Right, so... okay, so I'll... I was going to say, I'll carry on with the further comments down the list here. Hold on a second. So going further down, there's a comment from the GAC. With regard to string similarity, the GAC chair wrote to the we should ignore all that. CCTLD policy is a matter for the local internet communities to determine. An IDN CCTLD application represents the free choice of Pacific Ling community and has full right to use its language and script in the DNS space. So are we saying there should be a TLD around Pacific linguistic community issues? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Hello? So then it carries on the comment. We're finding potential confusability has been made. Rather than rejecting the application, the process should allow the applicant to propose mitigation measures and to assess fully the possibility versus probability of any such confusion. So what are these mitigation measures that the GAC is proposing then? Any thoughts on that one?
Phil, this is Jeff. I'm not sure, which you're reading the GAC comment right now?
The GAC comments on the second page.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how that relates to the – sorry, this is Jeff. I'm not sure how that relates to the two-character issue. I'm not sure what they're – I think they're just reiterating past advice. I think we can go on to the other than the two-character ones. I think we could go on to the next point.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, the next point is, I've highlighted it. When there's a split recommendation between uppercase and lowercase, the finding relating to the lower shall prevail, and the application shall go forward where probability of confusion is low. So, again, I have no idea what they're getting at here. If I imagine the lowercase shall prevail.
Again, I think, Phil, we should go on to question 222, because I think the other I think we've kind of killed this one, this topic on the two characters, and just get to the point of it might actually be better if we can bring up the other matrix, I know we can't do it side by side, but basically talk about the different categories and see if we can relate them to any specific comments that came in. So, if we go down this list and we previously talked about this, and maybe staff can help, maybe someone else can be looking at the comments, but I think with respect to we haven't talked about the ICANN IANA names. We talked about what in 2009 was recommended, in 2012 what was in the guidebook, and then the question was, and I know we had discussed this, I'm actually not clear as to why this isn't in the matrix, so it could be my fault. There could have been a different document, but I think there was some discussion on that we had, which is should we add any of the newer names or should we delete some of these names? Newer names meaning the ones from the, CSC or, well, someone actually has that as a TLD anyway.
Jeff?
Jeff,
could I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
We have 10 minutes left, and I think what would be a really good idea is if you just read through the comment, I'm not asking to read through the comments. What I'm saying is that if you pull out specifically from the comments and you put it in a separate matrix, for example, what specifically is talked about in the comments that we did receive, you'll find that we didn't actually receive a lot of comments to specific categories of reserved names, and that there's a good common element in what reserved names we did. There's a good common element of categories that we received comments in regards to. That's why I think if you just pull those out, we'll have maybe like four or five different categories to talk about, because most of those comments didn't get into every single or every different category we have, and we can just pull that out of the comments as it is now and talk about that in a similar type of matrix. And then the other questions actually just get into very simply there shouldn't be any changes, and then we start talking about the second level, and then the 100 reserved names for a registry, as well as the discussion on the premium names at the second level. So if we move forward in a similar fashion like that, that would be really quick, I think.
Yeah. So thanks, Michael, and sorry to Jeff. I'm trying to raise my hand. I'm having all sorts of Adobe issues. I can't raise it. I can't lower it. But, you know, like one comment that came in from NORID, I can't remember what that stands for, but they said, for example, center should be protected, C-E-N-T-R, just the same as GNSO, CCNSO, and again, this is at the top level. And so let's throw it out there. Does anyone, what do people think about that comment? Should we start protecting terms like center, APNIC, AFNIC, LACNIC,
right,
LACTLD, all that kind of stuff? Does anyone on this call support the notion, just as raised by NORAD, that we should be protecting regional-based organizations at the top level? Sorry. Again, my Adobe's not working, so I can't tell if people are commenting or not on this issue.
So this is Aubrey.
While
Oh, okay, Paul, I see your hand up. I was just going to I see Paul's hand up, and then
Paul
I put mine up. So.
Thanks.
So let's go Paul, then
okay, thanks, Aubrey. Paul McGrady for the record. So my reaction to this is that we should not be carving out special protections as reserved top-level domain names, but there is nothing keeping them from applying either as an open model or if they want to protect it as a dot brand. There's nothing keeping them from filing for trademark registrations and filling out a specification 13. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Aubrey, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Aubrey. I have a view on that that sort of says, you know, I really don't see carving these out for them, but neither do I see, therefore, why we reserve the ones we do. And any conversation of this has to be able to sort of distinguish why, you know, a few names are worthy of this kind of protection, but other ones aren't. So that's sort of the question I like to, because it seems to me to make as much sense to reserve those as it does to reserve GNSO, ASO, or what have you. So that was the point I wanted to add, that I think there is a balance that we have to find there.
Thank you, Aubrey. So I don't hear you talking, so I'm just going to take it and run with it. So that's a really good point. Now that we do have new suggestions like this, we do need to have the line drawn and a reason for that. Does anyone else have any specific comments in regards to this? Should we take everything reserved out of those? Should we take all the ICANN names that are currently reserved off the table? Or should we give forward to, for example, Center to be reserved? What would be the basis for our reasoning as it is today of why we reserve the current ones we already do?
Jeff saying in the chat, I guess the key word here is the consistency, isn't it? You've either got to have none in there or all of them in there, I guess, is the issue. But how far do you go with all that? Because you could end up lots and lots and lots of regional organizations, so we draw the line. It's a tricky one. It just needs a very clear, defined, consistent rule on it, I guess.
This is Jeff. I'm sorry. I can't raise my hand, so can you just put me in the queue?
I'll put you in the queue right after I finish speaking. Sorry, I was just going to refer to what Paul was saying, that we need to find the basis for why we reserved the original ones. And then, Jeff, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I got to fix this Adobe thing. So I was going to say that, you know, the IETF has provided, for the names that it has reserved, it has provided an explanation as to why those are reserved and why there's a technical reason for reserving them. I think if you look back at the original 2009 recommendation, I don't think any of the ICANN names were actually, or maybe they were, maybe there were only a few of the ICANN names that were recommended. But at one point, ICANN did entertain the notion of dropping those from the reserve list. And I do think that unless we can find a technical basis or security stability basis, that I agree with the notion that we should not be keeping the reservation on any of those.
Jeff Newman, too. That's a great suggestion. I think what would be another good idea, for example, would be is if we could ask Center, or we could ask I'm sorry, is it Nord that made this suggestion? If there is a technical reason why we should make a reservation for organizations such as Accenture, but that's just an idea that's out there, and if we'd like to move on it, if anyone would like to agree to that, that'd be great. But we only have about 2 minutes left now. I'm just going to kind of close up shop for the day. We're going to take back the comments for the reserved names to figure out a better way to move forward with this, since we only got through about a page of this today. I think the idea of organizing those CC2 comments into a similar matrix and seeing how we can tie this into this one would be a great step moving forward. We're going to take that back to the leadership team and figure that out for our next call. So next call will also be getting into the we'll be looking to move forward to another CC2 area as well, hopefully. If not, we'll just stick with reserve names. Very quickly, does anyone have any other business they'd like to discuss? No? Hearing none? I give everyone back a minute of their time. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to speaking with you in 2 weeks. 10th of August at 21 UTC. Thank you very much. Ta-ta for now.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And today's call has ended. You may disconnect.